Good morning. Welcome to Otagoville Baptist Church. We are so glad that you are joining us via Facebook, via YouTube, whichever you decide to watch. It is a wonderful day that the Lord has made, and we are just excited to be in the house of God. Been over a few prayer requests this morning with our church family. As you know, we passed out. We've got our deacon selections coming up on the 20th of September. There was also a few prayer requests. God knows each and every one of them. Sam Robertson was mentioned. There's several of them. Also, tell me that name again, Mr. Benny.
Rick Wood.
I also be in prayer for his entire family also. But there's been so many things going on this week. We've all had a blessed week. I know it's a Labor Day holiday, and so a lot of people are off Monday, looking forward to that. And Trey, I've never figured it out. For some reason, every Labor Day, I always end up seeming to work harder than I normally do the other 364 days of the year. I don't know if it's because it's called Labor Day or what, but I ended up being a laborer. And actually, it says, I actually looked it up. It says America's workers celebrating the contributions people have made for the strength and greatness of our country. So we actually should, the workers, who everybody in here is a worker, should take the day and enjoy themselves probably and be able to maybe indulge in a little barbecue or something or whatever, or maybe just lay out by the pool. I know that's what Benny does a lot of times, him and Greg. They just kind of take it easy and relax. So that's what I encourage each and every one of you to do. We're so glad that you are joining this morning. As always, we'll start off with a word of prayer and pray that God blesses our service. I'm so glad that you're here this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we just come before you right now, Lord, and say thank you, God, for all the blessings that you have given us, Lord. I pray, God, that you will be with us during this time, Father God, as we sing songs, Lord, as we look at your word, Father. Bless each and every person that we talked about on our prayer list, Father God. You know their needs, Father God, and Lord, we just ask, God, that you be with them. Lord, thank you, Lord, for this beautiful week that you have given us, Lord, for the sunshine, Father God, and for the a little bit cooler temperatures, Lord. We have all, Father, I pray that everybody was able to get out and enjoy some fresh air, Lord, as, Lord, we all need to. I pray, God, that you be with us as we look at your word today. I pray, God, that you enlighten us, Father God, in a world, Father, that's a little bit different right now. I ask, God, that you help each of us to shine our lights for you, Father God, so people can see the difference that you've made in our lives. Lord, be with us. Lead, God, and direct us. Father, we love you and we thank you. And these things I ask in your most precious and holy, holy name. Amen. All right, Sister Leslie, you ready?
Thank you.
Good morning. It's good to be here again in the house of the Lord. Want to share with you, just a few weeks ago, I met Larry's replacement. I remember I talked about Larry a few weeks ago on here, and the first time I met this guy at this particular job, he came up and he said, "Hi, my name is Scott, and I don't feel too good." And I thought, oh, he's got the Rona. I need to back up. So I began a little bit extra social distancing, and then he came around. He said, "Oh, I don't feel good at all." I said, "Well, what's the matter?" He said, "That biscuit I ate is not settling too well." And instead of going over to the grass, and he went over in the edge of the parking lot over there by the Walgreens where we had to work and evacuated his biscuit. And then he went in the store. Virus cannot travel 6.5 feet. It can only travel 6 feet. Anyway, but I want to share a scripture with you, and then I'm going to tell you a little bit about my encounter with Scott. In Mark chapter 5, beginning verse 18, this is after Jesus has healed the demoniac. And when he got into the boat, this was Jesus, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you." And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. Well, during the conversations of that particular day, it came up that I'm youth pastor here, and I've been a youth pastor for 10 years before, and like that always comes up somehow or another. Everybody wants to know what you did before you was driving a truck. So I tell him, and then that day goes on, and I stay still a good bit of distance from him because I don't know what's exactly going on with him. But the next week, I go back up there, and he comes up to me, and he says, "Did you say you were a youth pastor?" I said, "I did." And he said, "Well, how do you get into that?" And I said, "Well, that's kind of an interesting question." I said, "First of all, it's a calling. It's a calling from the Lord upon your life into ministry of some kind, and specifically student ministry." And began to share a little bit of my time and how the Lord called me to do that. And then I said, I feel like God's called me to be a youth pastor too. And I looked at him, and it'd be easy to pass judgment on this guy because, number one, his language was not the best, although you could tell that he was trying not to sometimes. And number two, he had face tattoos and tattoos on his neck and arms. Number three, you could tell that he had used a lot of drugs in the past because his he was a younger guy. He was in his early 30s, and his teeth were just really bad, just a sign of some of the drugs that he had used in the past. And he began to tell me some of his testimony, what the Lord had done for him, and how he had strayed from the Lord and even been to prison. And he's still not living for the Lord all that he should, even though he's trying every day. He began to tell me about how he has an aunt and an uncle who were ministers in a church, and they have offered to take him under their wing to begin to train him and teach him how to do ministry and how to be a part of a church, of a church family, and that kind of thing. And he began to tell me of their church and how their church is full of people like him that had been to prison or had bad mistakes in the past and that kind of thing. And I began to see him in a different light there. And I began to see, looking past those types of things and looking past all that. And I said, "You know, I said, my testimony is a whole lot different than yours. A whole lot different than yours." And I told him, I said, "You know, there are students And this man had been abused as a child. His stepdad beat the fire out of him many, many times, sent him to the hospital, broken bones and things like that, which actually drove him to the drugs and all that kind of stuff. He was telling me about that. And I said, Scott, you know, there are kids that will hear you, because that's what they are going through right now. That's the path that they're on, the path that you went down. And he said, exactly. He said, that's what I want to do. I want to tell them, you know, how God steered me through all of that and brought me back to the other side and is still working to bring me back. He said, I want to be able to tell them that, because I don't want them to go through what I've gone through. He said, I don't want a kid 10 years old whose stepdaddy is beating the fire out of him and think he's got nobody he can talk to, because that's what I thought. I didn't have anybody I could share. He said, I want to be that person. And I said, well, Scott, with your record that you've been to prison and that kind of stuff, I said, there are a lot of churches that are going to look at you and say, this guy's not dealing with our students. And he said, I know that. He said, I want to go to a Bible school too. I said, Scott, if you go to the Bible school, there's going to be professors and teachers there that's not really going to want to teach you a whole lot because of that. I said, what you need to do is you need to go to your aunt and your uncle and get under their wing and learn all that you can learn and continue to grow. And as they allow you to share with that group of people, then you can grow and you can share and you can be on your way, on your road into some type of ministry. I said, there are kids that will listen to you because of your tattoos and because of what you've done that won't look at me not once. I said, now there are kids that will look at me and I can share with them, because I'm a little more clean cut and I haven't gone down the road that you've gone down. There are kids that'll listen to me and won't listen to you, and there are kids that'll listen to you and won't listen to me. But here's where it all boils down. Each one of us, every one of us, have our own distinct life story, our own distinct testimony. And there are people out there who are like us, are similar to us, that we can talk to and we can relate to that someone else might not can. You know, Mr. Marley and Mr. Greg, they work out there at the paper mill. I don't know, other ones may work out there too, but I know that they do. He works for a contractor and he works for the mill. There are people that work in that environment that they can relate to and that they know how to talk to and that they can get past some of the things that guy's saying and understand where he's coming from in life because they've been down that road. There are people who've been school teachers or coaches like Brother James back there who can share their life experiences with other people who won't listen to somebody else. You see, God has created each one of us different, and we all have a testimony of before we were saved and how God has the great things the Lord has done for you and in salvation and since that point, and how he's grown you and molded you into who you are today. So I just want to share that with you. I want to share that to our young people out there who may be on Facebook or however they're getting this on the internet. But that's what I have to say this morning. Thank you.
And before we go on, Trey mentioned the kid, like the Scott that was abused. I pulled all the different things this week to see kids that are going virtually to school on the computers. And one thing that was shocking, it was the kids in the poor neighborhoods. It was the kids whose parents don't do right anyway. And these are kids that are now going to be sitting at home all day long, maybe by themselves, maybe with an older sibling teaching them. And I told Kyle the other day, I just came home and cried, and I said, you know, it scares me for these children that aren't getting what they should. And it's not the kids you would think, like Maddie and Henry, or the ones that have a good home life. It's kids that parents don't do right by them anyway, and they're going to be at home in situations that are scary. So just please pray for those kids and people trying to reach them.
More than likely, they're at home, not out of necessity, but out of laziness.
So if y'all will pray for that. But we're going to sing Oh How I Love Jesus, and we're going to do the first and last verse of that one.
There is a name.
have a video about Myers Mallory now. So.
I heard a crash, glass breaking.
Trees down in the roads, trees on houses, trees on cars.
We were just scared to death. And I wondered, oh my goodness, our whole town is just torn up.
Easter Sunday, the following Sunday, Alabama was affected by springtime storms, but it was also right in the middle of the beginnings of our pandemic for the coronavirus. Our volunteers were willing to get out and help people because that's their heartbeat and their passion. And so they were out there working in Rockford and around the state in at least 11 associations.
Actually, we didn't know what to do. We'd never experienced anything like this before. And when the yellow shirts showed up just a couple hours later, I've never been so happy to see somebody.
And we just want to tell you, thank you. And we're so grateful for what y'all doing.
When y'all traveling, going from different places and different towns, you don't know what effect it have on someone's life. And the crew that have come by to help me has really been a lifesaver, because I wouldn't know where to have started. Thank you. Thank you. Those two little words. God bless you. You have helped so many people. You will never know. And I have joked, but I mean this. I think yellow has become my new favorite color. And I will never forget it.
To know that we as Alabama Baptists work together to make a difference in places not only in Alabama but around the country as we send our teams out, it's worth it to give and to share and to be a part of the team of Alabama Baptist.
Your gifts to the Myers-Mallory State Missions offering make that possible, and we're grateful for that.
Absolutely. We've had the pleasure too, TNT, we have built several of their trailers for them. And they've come in and designed them. Those big open trailers carrying those Bobcats, we just rewired and did the brakes and the seals on everything so they could be ready for another 15,000 miles. Brother Mel and Mark, all of them work with us getting those trailers up there dropped off. When we pick them up, they would just do them like a big drive-through. Do one, drop it off, call you in a week, come get it, bring us another one and get them situated. So it's a wonderful thing. Brother Wade back there also, you're still active, right? Yeah, and what's yours? You're in?
The
Autauga County Carpenters in Christ. So if you'd ever like to get interested in anything like this, I encourage you to see Brother Wade. You can call Mel Johnson at the Baptist Association. But definitely the Myers-Mallory is a wonderful where our money goes directly to work and to be able to help those who have been affected by something. So it's wonderful. Well, we'll go ahead and dig in this morning. Today, we are going to be in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 this morning. And we're going to be talking about, I titled today, The Fruit of Salvation. John, the Apostle John, was responsible for several books, and these epistles the epistle that we're reading today, is titled God's Love and Ours. And I was a little bit taken away with it when I was getting prepared. I'll be honest with you, a lot of, and I thought Trey for sure would have spoke on Friday night, just to share with you for a second. Tanya had to drive a school bus to Opelika and over there to the where they have to pick it up at the junior high and all that. And I'll be honest with you, my Friday was turned a little upside down too. We were hosting a youth party Saturday at our house, and I get real particular about my yard and stuff and how I want it to be oh so perfect when somebody comes up. And I want them to look, and I want them to be able to go, oh, it looks so nice. You know, give me a thumb, you know, and go, oh, man, love, yeah, that's beautiful. Although my yard is not as tip-top, I'm sure, as some of yours, but it's to my degree, I like it. Well, sure enough, I had taken Tanya to the bus yard and had dropped her off because she does not like to drive that late at night over there in that area. And so I told her, I said, well, I'll take you, and I'll just come back and get you. I can stay up till midnight. I'm not that old, you know, surely, although it was hard. But anyway, I made it through it. So I was doing my thing. It was about 4:30. I had just gotten my gas and my can, and I was headed home to cut grass when Emily called me and said, hey, Dad, we've been in a little accident with my Meredith and Gracie. We were getting some furniture from, wasn't her car. Everybody was fine. But they had had a fender bender where somebody had ran into the back of the trailer and had broke the ball off in the truck. Anyway, they were stuck. And so she said, we need some help. And I said, okay. I said, I can do that. Where are you at? She says, we're at Airport Marine, which is roughly about 55, 60 miles from our house. So I said, okay, no problem. That was not what I was planning on, so let me go to plan B, and I'm going to go ahead and make this happen for y'all. So instead of getting to cut my grass, I headed towards Birmingham and was going to help them get the trailer off the side of the road and get them back home safe and sound and help them unload. Anyway, mission accomplished for that evening. The problem was I didn't get home till after 8 o'clock, and it was pitch dark. And I never put lights on my lawnmower, so I figured, well, this would be pointless. It would make a mess. So I'll just have to do the best I can tomorrow before our youth party. And just so happens, I was riding along that evening at about 7 o'clock, and I called Brother Trey. And I said, hey, I just felt led to call you and just check on you. I said, what are you doing? I figured he was at home watching TV or something. Oh, man, I'm in the middle of Tennessee, and I just threw a fan blade. And I was like, what? Are you all right? Yeah, I'm trying to. They can't find the tools to work with. Nothing is going right. And I said, well, to be honest with you, I was supposed to be home right now cutting my precious grass and making it immaculate for tomorrow and doing my weed eating and blowing, make sure everything was just tip-top so you would pull in tomorrow and go, oh, wow, what a yard. None of it happened. And when I talked to Trey, I said, I figured you'd be at home. He said, well, I was supposed to be, but I had to come up here and I had to get some marble, and it was going to be a simple trip. And Trey said, they put these big old sheets of marble on my trailer, and they're huge, and there's so many of them. And the guy who tightened them down has over-tightened them, and they're cracking. And I thought, and I was worried about grass? I said, man, are you all right? Yeah, I mean, just, there was actually a tent revival going on next door, and I almost went over and went down to the altar. But luckily you called. I said, well, I just felt led. I'm actually riding back from Clear too. If it makes you feel any better, my plans have been shot, they've been changed, and I'm now doing the best I can. Trey said, well, I'll add to that too. I just threw a fan blade that just dented up in the front of my truck through my hood. I said, what are you going to do? Pray I make it home. I said, I'll pray too. So needless to say, I said, what time are you due in? He said, probably about 1 o'clock, midnight, 1 o'clock. I said, okay. I said, well, I'm going to be up at midnight. I will call you just to make sure you're all right, to make sure I don't need to come get you off the side of the interstate somewhere. So sure enough, 12 o'clock, it was about midnight too, wasn't it? Tanya had texted me and said, we just dropped off at the high school. the game's over, we're headed back. So I got on the road again at midnight, and I called Brother Trey. Hey, what's going on? I said, man, just going out, doing my nightly thing, I guess, at midnight. I said, are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. God's carried me all the way home. I said, amen. I'm glad. I'm almost there. I said, well, let me know. I'm glad you're safe. You'll get that truck fixed and you'll press on another day. It's called the fluff in our lives a lot of times when things don't go exactly the way we planned. God's love is so big. I want you to look at something with me. 1 John 4, 7 and 8 is where I want to start off. It says, God's love and ours. It says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. John 15:7 reminds me of something when we all need to know that God's love is specific to each and every one of us. That our stories may be different, but God's love is the same. God loves each of us. We're all His. It's very specific. You know, as I sat with my mother last Sunday night, Mama's been struggling with this coronavirus and not having nothing to do. She has been going stir crazy in that house because she hasn't been able to go to the nursing homes, for one, and that was a big part of her ministry, was going and seeing other people and being able to get out. Well, they've taken that away from her. So I said, well, now we need to find something else for you to do. We have to find a different avenue for you to serve. And so we had been praying about that. And that's exactly what she had been doing too. And you know, Sunday evening as I sat there in her house, I sat there and I was thinking to myself, she was telling me this, she said, I need to get out. I said, you know what, Mama, I know what I'm fixing to do. I texted Brother Mel Johnson down there at the Autauga Baptist Association. And I said, I heard when Karen's left, Segura, she's moved on, her husband took another job. She has left the association, but still helping. I said, do you possibly need somebody to answer phones? Whenever. He said, oh, amen, that would be wonderful. Who you got? I said, my mother. And by the way, she doesn't like computers. But you work it out. He said, that would be great. And I said, just something that popped in my head. Thank you so much. Mama went to work Wednesday. She hadn't done that in, wow, I don't know when. Packed her a lunch and everything. You know, one of those things. Went and did an 8 to 4, and I called her when at 4:30, and I said, well, how did it go? She said, oh, it was wonderful. I saw Travis Owens, and I got to talk to him, and I saw so-and-so, and I got to talk to them, and I saw so-and-so. So I said, so did you do any work, or did you just talk all day? And she said, mainly I just talked all day. I said, well, that's good, too. And she said, I answered the phone when it rang. I did my part. I said, well, that was wonderful. I'm so glad. And she said, it felt so good just to get out. It felt so good. Be specific when we pray. John 15:7 says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. God, we serve a God that big that we can pray so specifically to Him when we're worried about something, we're worried about a polyp or whatever that case may be, we can pray and say, God, you know what I'm going through. God, I'm specific to you. You know my ins and outs. You know everything about me. Lord, help me through this. Even when you're stuck at home or even when it's out of the norm for us. Because a lot of times our lives, our schedules got disrupted. Does that make sense? It does. We all had to change a little bit. As I told last week, we want a normal again. We do. I said this in the 11 o'clock. I didn't say it to y'all. We want a normal again, but we want a better normal. That's what we want. We want a better normal, better than normal. We want something better. Look at what 9 and 10 says right there. And look at how John's addressing this in this entire section. This is actually AD 85, 95. It's a letter to one of the churches. I believe it's in Ephesus. He says, this is how, this verse starting at 9, this is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. We see that God's love is visible by what Jesus did for us. And I'm going to tell you this real quick, and I'm going to say it again today too. The fruit of salvation. Think about that. Well, we all know that works are the fruit of salvation. Yeah, that's true. Works are the fruit. Our good deeds, because we've accepted Christ, we want to share God's love. Works is the fruit of salvation, but not the root of salvation. That's when we see Jesus come in. That is the root of our salvation, Jesus on the cross. Look at what 11 and 12 says right there. It says, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. Back in Exodus, no one has ever seen God face to face except for Jesus. Think about the story in Exodus. It was Moses. Y'all remember when he said, hold on, I highlighted it. I'm going to have to go back. Just because I'm going to mess it up if I tell y'all a little bit. He says, and the Lord said to Moses, and I'm in Exodus 33, okay, 17. You don't have to flip there, just jot it down. And he says, and the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, every bit of it. And I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. Then the Lord said, there is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. And 22 says, when my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. Man, you think about the glory of God and how Moses with the Israelites and the stories, you think about everything that God has done for us. You think about everything that we go through on a daily basis. We've all seen His glory in one way or another. Maybe through an answered prayer. Maybe through spending time with Him. Maybe through just studying God's Word. Maybe through, and a lot of mine was with my children being born and what the miracle. Believe it or not, when each of my kids were born, I was in tears. I was in tears. I was amazed at what was happening in front of me. It just resounded to me. And that was back. And a lot of you older men probably didn't get to experience that. But they let me front and center in there. So I got to see everything. And I didn't pass out. Praise God, I didn't pass out. I stayed right there. But I was just, whoa. Whoa. God, you are so good. God's love is not only satisfying, but it is complete. God completes us when we're able to look upon what His Son did for us, Jesus. It completes us. The fluff that we talked about at the beginning of this service happens to everybody, okay? Agreed. We all have bad days. Maybe not as bad as Trey sometimes, but we all have bad days. And it's all the thing is we get to get up. Just because God reroutes us one day, I've always had the thing of thinking too, well, I just wasn't supposed to do that at that time. Maybe God saved me from something. You never know. That's the way I've honestly looked at stuff like that. I was not supposed to be there at that time. I was never supposed to be there. We had a youth party last night, and believe it or not, and it was Trey. I'm gonna tell this quick little thing tidbit. Trey was giving a test, giving his. We were having our Bible story together, and we were sitting there, everybody with our Bibles, and we was listening and reading scriptures. And Trey had known a couple who was at the World, or right there at the World Trade Center on 9/11. And he said their next stop was supposed to be that Trade Center. And believe it or not, the day before, they had were supposed to go to Yankees Park to the thing, but it got canceled. And they were told that they had to be back at a certain time to get their money back. So before they went to the World Trade Center, they took the train all the way back to the stadium and refunded their money. When they were there at the stadium, the planes hit the towers. God's hand? Amen, it was God's hand. That was not their time. That was not their place. God was directing them the whole time. You look up and you say, God, you are visible. God, you're right here with us. You're leading and guiding each and every one of us. Think about that. Think about that this week as you start your week, that God has you, period. Let's go look at the next point, 13 and 14 right there. So this is how we know that we live in Him. He has given us a spirit. 14 says, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. God's love is spiritual. Very spiritual. Do you understand that the deeper understanding you have of God's Word, the richer your worship will be? Does that make sense? The deeper your understanding of God's Word, the more time that you spend through the week with Him, the deeper, the richer your worship will be. Proven fact. If we would be, think about this too, talk about the fruit of salvation. If we were to be saved by works, there really wouldn't have been a point in the entire Bible. Think about that for a second. If work saved us, there wouldn't be a point. Because wouldn't if Jesus have carved out, I heard a speaker one time use this analogy, what would have been the point? Wouldn't God would have just wrote on a mountain, carved it in the Rockies or something and said, be the best you can be. Love God. That would have been it. If it was works, that would have been it. Do your best. Love God. You know, or whatever that case may be. But instead, He sent His Son Jesus for us. He gave us the entire New Testament, which is Jesus' life, that we can pick apart and we can learn from, and that we can see and we can find meanings in there beyond meanings, and see that applies to our lives today when we're all dealing with the fluff of everyday life. Look at what 15 says. And look how I love how John puts this in here right now. If anyone, number 4:15, I hope I hadn't lost you. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. He gives us an invitation to accept Jesus. Right there in front of us, He gives us that invitation. That if you accept Him, He's going to live in you. All you have to do is ask Him into your heart. Look at what 16 through 18 says right there. It says, and so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. King James Version right there, instead of the word rely, says dwelleth. I like that better. He dwells in us. He's in our heart. He lives in us. It says, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. 17 says, this is how love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Look at what it says right there. In this world, we are like Jesus. In this world, we are like Jesus. What do you think that means? That we endure just like Jesus endured. He went through the same thing. He faced rejection, loneliness. They add up end upon end upon end. Everything we endure also with our feelings, with what happens on a daily basis with us. It says 16 through 18 right there. I wanted to make sure there's no fear. There's no fear, but perfect love dries out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Don't be fearful. God's, 16 through 18, God's love is confident. There's no reason for us to be scared. Now, one of the best times, I do not like scary stories. I don't like scary movies. That just gives me nightmares. Anyway, I'm just a big old baby. I can't handle it. I do not like that. I don't want to watch anything that's going to make me cover my eyes. I don't like it. So Tanya, a few years, this has been way years ago, Tanya says, well, I want to go over here to this haunted hayride. And I thought, well, this doesn't sound like no fun. But she wanted to go. We were dating. I thought, well, I better do it. Show her that I'm a man. So we went on it, and we all get all cozy on this big old wagon. It was somewhere down in South Montgomery, and we're riding through this, going through the different little scenes. And I was not a fan of this. I don't think I've ever been back. I was like, if you would have said youth trip to the haunted hayride, I said, I'm out. I'm not going. But we were standing next to this family, and this young girl was sitting beside me, and we had entered into the section of the forest where the chainsaws come out. I don't know what else you would call it. But these people, they all had masks on. They had chainsaws. It didn't have no chain on it, but it was the effect of it. It was scary. And they all of a sudden just appeared, so they made everybody in the wagon, holler a little bit. Well, then they proceed to climb onto the wagon with us. And then it just picked up another level to where I do not want to be here. The girl beside me is fearful. I can see it. I think she has now even put her arm right here holding on to my bicep. So, okay, and that's with her right hand, so her left is free. And she's like, I'm sorry, I'm just so scared. I was like, it's okay, we're going to get through this together. This ain't real. They're going to pass. It's going to be gone. We'll move on to the next section. So hang in there, because I'm not doing too good either. Well, the guy walks down and stops at her and almost gets in her face, like leans down, and he's got his little chainsaw up. The girl pops him. Bam. Right in the kisser. He had a mask on, but it went whoop. And I thought, oh no, what now? So he exited stage left and got off the back of the wagon, and he was done. I thought, you saved us, honey. Is what you did. She said, he really scared me. I said, he scared me too. You weren't the only one. When we go into situations like that, we do not need to be fearful, because God is with us, guys. And I know that it was a story Tanya had reminded me of. I said, oh man, I forgot all about that. God's love covers us. There's no need for us to be scared. When it's amazing too how we do tend to get scared, especially if something bad happens in our lives. We tend to always think to ourselves, what have I done to deserve this? And that's a true statement. A lot of people think that way. What did I do wrong? You haven't done anything wrong. It's those instances where God's maturing us, where God's growing us, where God's taking us from babes in Christ. He's taking us to men, to brothers and sisters in Christ. He's growing us is what He's doing. Don't ever think that God's done with you, because He never is. Not until the day you go home to be with Him. You're never done. You are never done. Always keep that in mind. 19 through 21 right there says, we love because He first loved us. Whoever claims to love God and yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. 21 says, and He has given us this command, anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. God commands us to love one another. He tells us exactly how it's supposed to be. The root of your salvation is in your relationship with Jesus Christ. That is your foundation. When I told you, the deeper your understanding of God's Word, the richer your worship will be. If works are the fruit of salvation, not the root of salvation. It's almost like, let me tell you this too. We all want to be all in at all times. Benny sends these little emails out that I get a chuckle out of. And he sent me one, and I haven't found it again, but I've told it on maybe a Wednesday night or something like that a year ago or however long. And it was about this man who had put a tightrope up between two buildings. And I'm probably telling it wrong, but just go with me. He put this, I'm giving you the moral of the story. He put up a tightrope between two buildings. And like say a downtown time. And he announced what he was going to do. And he had this old wheelbarrow. And he was going to push it across the tightrope and walk it from one building to the other. And he was like, oh, this is going to be the best ever. And so he advertises, he gets this big old crowd there, they all want to watch. And he says, do you think I can do it? And they're all, yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can do it. Then everybody lifts him up and he just gets so excited. He's ready to do it. And he says, okay, now I just need somebody to get into the wheelbarrow. And the crowd went silent. I think a lot of times we're like that today, where we're not always ready to get in that wheelbarrow just yet. We want to see him do a test run or two. Even if he did that, Miss Kay, I still wouldn't get in the wheelbarrow. But you get my point. We all want to see it for our own eyes. God works through His Word. God is very visible today as He has ever been. God, we see how we can go through those scriptures right there. And believe it or not, what is that, 14 verses that we just went through and picked out 5-6 points of how God's love is right there with us each and every day. Fluff happens to each and every one of us. Don't ever give up on keeping your eyes on Christ. Because He is the root of our salvation. Let's close in prayer today. God, we just come before You now, Lord, and just say thank You, God, for being the awesome God that You are. Thank You, God, for Your Word and what it means to each and every one of us, Lord, that we can take away, Father God, that we can spend time with You, Lord. I pray, God, that as we all start our weeks this week, Lord, You will be with us, Father God. You will help us to dig deeper into Your Word, Lord. Help us all to have a richer worship experience. Father, help us not just to leave them in the cars when we leave here, God, but to take them home to read, to understand, to prod through, to search, to find new words, God. Lord, you unveil so much to us, Lord. You are sovereign God, one and only. I pray, God, that you just be with us, Lord. Thank you, God, for our time together. And thank you, Lord, for this wonderful church family. I pray, God, that you will just be with us, Lord. Lead, God, and direct us. These things I ask in your most precious and holy name. Amen. Come on, sister. If God's leaned on your heart this morning, you can always reach out to us. And of course, go to otagovillebaptist.org. You'll find all of our contact information there along with the bulletin uploaded. If you have any questions on joining our church, any questions on accepting Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, please give us a call. Reach out to us. Let us know what we can do to help further you along in your ministry. May God bless you, and I hope you have a blessed week.